God is in control. She's a happy girl.
Hello, friends, and welcome back to another podcast of Woman at the Well Ministries, where we believe that all of us have to come to Jesus like the woman at the well in John chapter 4. Our highest priority is making God real in your life. Whether you are listening in our app, in your favorite podcasting app, or on our website at watwm.org, we invite you to sit down with us as we look to the scriptures to learn more about God and to strengthen your daily walk with Jesus Christ.
Living her life for Christ. She's a happy girl.
In today's world, everyone has an opinion, and most are very quick to express it. People walk around judging those around them as if they have the authority to do so. The results are that many among us are beaten down, battered, and misled. Join us in this podcast of Woman at the Well Ministries as Kim takes us on a journey through the scriptures, revealing that Christ, and Christ alone, has the authority to tell us who we are. Our identity is in Christ, and His opinion and judgment is the only one that matters. He speaks truth, and it is He who sets your identity.
Hello, and thank you for joining us in this podcast of Woman at the Well Ministries. And what an amazing truth it is to know that our identity is in Christ Jesus. Let's pray. Our kind and most gracious to Heavenly Father, Lord, I ask that you would remove me from this message, that you would use this vessel of clay and speak words that are life-changing and transforming people into the person you want them to be. Allow them to see themselves as you see them, Lord. Help us to gain from your word that which you would have us to gain. Help us to be the people that encourage and lift up. But most of all, may we walk away from this time with you, knowing who we are in you. And in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. There's a familiar account in John chapter 8 of a woman who is caught in the act of adultery. And those who catch her, they seem exuberant to bring her to Jesus. And in John chapter 8, verse 5, they begin to speak about, you know, in Moses' law, he commanded them that if someone was caught in adultery, that they should be stoned. And they're asking Jesus, but what sayest thou? And they are tempting him that he might, you know, have to accuse them. But Jesus, he stoops down in the sand, and with his fingers, or a finger, he writes on the ground, as if whatever they had to say didn't matter, as if he didn't hear them. And the scripture doesn't tell us what Jesus writes, but he tells us what happens. And so as we come up on this scene in scripture, what I want you to do is I want you to think about whatever it is that thing is in your life that the devil continually brings in front of your mind and places on your heart that makes you feel unworthy, that makes you feel bad, or makes you feel like as if you are less than. Because with Jesus, we are greater than. Because greater is He that is in us than he that is in the world, in 1 John 4:4. The world was going to deplete you. The world wants to take away from you. In 1 Peter 5:8, we're told that the devil walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. He is trying to make you downcast. He's trying to make you feel bad about yourself. He's trying to let you see yourself through fleshly eyes. He wants you to feel less than. But in Christ, we are more than. We are more than conquerors in Romans 8:37. And so if you're listening to this message, I encourage you to hang in there for the next few minutes with me as we walk through these beautiful love letter from Genesis to Revelations that Jesus penned and that God inspired. And when I say Jesus penned, I'm telling you the gospel of Christ was written with his blood, because it's his blood shed on the cross of Calvary that washes away all your sins. And when the devil comes knocking at your heart and he comes speaking in your mind, you need to ask the Lord to take thoughts that are like that and make them captive to the Word of God. And today we're going to look at the Word of God so that you are equipped to put to rest the lies of the devil. The truth is, Romans 3:23 says that all of us have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So I promise you, in that way, we are all unworthy of the love of Christ, but he doesn't give us his love. He doesn't give us his salvation because we are worthy. He gives it to us because he loves us. In John chapter 3 and verse 16, he says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Whosoever. You're going to be called a lot of things in this world, but none of them will be more greater than whosoever. Because we're also told that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And in Romans 5:8, he tells us, "But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." You're right. On your own and in your flesh, we don't deserve the unmerited grace of Jesus Christ, which saves us. See, in Ephesians 2, 8, 9, he says, "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." You've got nothing in it. It's all about him and his love for you. And the scripture tells us he's no respecter of persons. What he did for Daniel in the lion's den, he'll do for you. What he did for the three Hebrew children in the fiery furnace, he'll do for you. What he did for Noah in the ark, he'll do for you. What he did for the widow woman who was running out of food, he'll do for you. What he did for the woman with the issue of blood, he'll do for you. See, Jesus Christ changed everything when he gave himself as a ransom for our sins. And it's his precious blood shed abroad in our hearts that makes us worthy. And it's his love that caused him to want to change us and transform us into what would be worthy. See, what we see in John chapter 8 is we're pushing up into this verse 7. What we see is a legalistic, holier-than-thou, wanting to punish somebody mentality. But when we get to verse 11, and Jesus speaks again, we see love. And we understand the verse that says love covers a multitude of sins. So as you're getting ready to listen, as we unfold and unwrap John chapter 8, and we undergird it with multiple passages of scripture in his holy love letter to you, I want you to once and for all lay your burden down. Give it to the Lord and tell the devil he has no place in your life. And though your sins were as scarlet, they are white as snow. See what some of us are doing, and I hope today puts a rest to that, is some of us are allowing the devil to create our identity. He neither has the power or the authority or the good sense to do so, but yet we allow him to do that. But I want to show you what Jesus has told us. See, in 2 Corinthians 5:17, he says, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new." Now, many times we use that scripture to remind us that we are no longer serving the flesh. We are no longer servants of sin. Sin no longer has dominion over us. And all of that is true. But today, I want you to read it with the understanding that what he's saying is all those things that made you a servant of sin, all those things that created your identity in the flesh, they are no longer part of who you are. And if they're not part of who you are, how can they possibly define who you are? They're no longer part of your story. Because all of those things have been transformed by the blood of Jesus. You're regenerated into a holy person, acceptable and pleasing to the Lord. Your want to's have changed. Your mindset has changed. And listen to me clearly, your story is being rewritten. And it's being rewritten by the blood of Jesus Christ. And nothing or no one can blot it out, because John 10:28 says that no man shall pluck you out of the hand of God. And nothing can refute it, because he is the one and true living God and the only authority. But in verse 7, these people who have brought her to Jesus, holding her past against her, holding her works against her. And we don't have a works relationship with Jesus, but our love for him will cause us to work for him. James explains that. But when we get to verse 7, he says, so when they continued asking him, he lifted up himself and said unto them, he that is without sin among you, let him first cast a stone at her. Here is the only one fit to judge. And the one who truly could have said, you're not worthy to stand in my presence. But I want you to see what he did instead. He became her advocate. He, who was without sin, did not cast the first stone. And remember, he was writing something in the sand. And my personal opinion is he was writing sins in the sand. See, we judge people because they sin differently than us. Now, as Christians, we should not habitually sin, but we do find ourselves living in the world, and we have to come to him and confess our sins, and he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness when we receive him as Savior, and daily as we wash the sins of the world away from us so that our heart stays in tune and focused on the one true living God. But something interesting happens. He steps down or stoops down and he begins to write again. And those that had heard it were convicted by their own conscience. See, when you're in the presence of Jesus, he's always cleaning up. He cleans up your heart. He cleans up your mind. And he cleans up your life. Because he's pure holiness. And he's light. And in his light, he removes the darkness of this world. You want true happiness and joy? Sit in the presence of Jesus. So when Jesus lifted up himself again and he saw none but the woman, this is what he said to her. Woman, where are those thine accusers? Hath no man condemned thee? See, in the light of Jesus, man's words fail. I want you to see how beautiful it is that he has given us this passage of scripture. See, all that the people had said before became worthless and of no value and powerless. Because in the presence of Jesus, that's exactly what they were. See, up until the point that she comes to Jesus, all those people around her who were berating her and harassing her and demeaning her, they had great power. I can only imagine what she must have looked like as they brought her there. But Jesus, this is what he said to her. Neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. We're new creatures in Christ, and we need to set our affection on things above. But the power of the words around you only have the amount of power you give them. They're not speaking truth. They're talking about a story that was. You're living a life that is. Two different things. We may not be able to erase our past, but he can erase the sins of our past. Did you hear me? Let me say that one more time loud for those in the back. You may not be able to erase the sins of the past, but he can. Jesus loves me. This I know. And so if man's words do not write truth, and man's words do not go down in history, because remember, he says that your sins are forgiven as far as the east is from the west, then where is your identity? The Bible tells us in Colossians 3, verses 1 through 4, this: if you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things of the earth. For you are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. Listen to verse 3. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. The things of the flesh no longer have viability. The things of the flesh, your life that was serving sin as a master, has been buried in the sea of forgetfulness in the mind of Christ. Because you are now hid in Christ. Your identity is in Christ. Your identity is who he says you are. Your identity is one in which he is the author and the finisher and the creator. It's what Almighty God says that you are. See, because Ephesians 2:10 says, we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. The story that's told, the story that is written, is the one in which you are hidden in Christ. It's when you become who God has asked you to be, who God has intended you to be, who God will strengthen you to be, who God will help you be who he wants you to be. Who you are in Christ Jesus is a born-again believer whose sins have been washed away, who's loved unconditionally, who is exalted above all of anything man can give you or do, because the Lord is on my side. Whom will I fear? What can man do unto me? In Psalms 118:6. The answer to that question is, man can only do unto you that which you allow him. And when you fix your mind on Christ Jesus, you'll have a peace that passes understanding and a joy unspeakable and full of glory. Jesus died that you might have your identity in him. Don't neglect to live a dynamic, spirit-filled, God-loving, God-seeking, holy life, zealous of good works, because you're hanging among the dead works of your previous life. See, the disciples were told to go and preach and teach the gospel and let the dead bury the dead. What he's telling us right here in Colossians is that's your old way of life. Like he said in 2 Corinthians 5:17, that's the old way of life. But you're a new creature, and you're hid in Christ. And that's the story he told us to go into all the world and tell. Whatever it is that the devil continually brings up that tells you that you're unworthy, that he can't use you, that his love and his mercy and his grace is for somebody else, I want you to go back to John chapter 8 and replace her sin with yours. And he didn't throw the stone. The one who could did not throw the stone. Instead, he threw love, mercy, and grace. And because of the transforming power of Jesus Christ in the life of a true believer, he commanded her to do what she could do through his strength and his power. He said, go and sin no more. Friends, set your affections on things above. Be hid in Christ Jesus and walk truly in his ways. The world doesn't get to define who you are because Jesus Christ pay the price for you. Jesus Christ bought the rights to who you are. Jesus Christ, in 1 Corinthians 6:19 through 20, gave us this. Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost which is in you, which ye have of God, and you're not your own? Do you understand the importance of what he's saying? The flesh, that's what you own. But when we're hid in Christ Jesus, as we're told in Colossians, we are now the temple of God. And the Holy Spirit dwells in us, teaching us and leading us and guiding us and directing us. And we're no longer our own. We're no longer servants of sin. We're no longer living in the flesh. Because verse 20 says, for you were bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God. My identity, it's in Christ Jesus. My story is now in God's hands. Oh, friend, if you can grasp this truth, you will have broken the stronghold of the Satan on your life, on your mind, and on your heart. Jesus said, you're mine, and I love you. And I have bought the price, paid the price, and bought your salvation. And I give it to you as a free gift. And the things of this world no longer get to identify who you are. They are dead to you. And you are alive in Christ Jesus. Live in the blessings and favor of God. And today, right now, stop living below your privileges because you're allowing man and the devil to create your identity. Today is the day you give devil the boot and you place Christ as king of your heart and Lord of your life and accept your identity in Christ Jesus. Mark 9:23 says, all things are possible to him that believeth. Don't let Satan write your story. Live in the blessing of God. Remember, you are loved. Jesus loves you.
Thank you for joining us in today's podcast. You can visit the show notes for quotes from today's podcast and scripture references. We pray today has been a blessing, and we encourage you to reach out to us through our app, our website, or our Facebook page. You can find our app by searching for Woman at the Well Ministries in your app store or through our website at watwm.org. We're on Facebook at facebook.com/watwm. If you visit our website, you'll be able to subscribe to Bible Bits, a daily devotion written by Kim and delivered Monday through Friday by text message. Woman at the Well Ministries is a nonprofit organization dedicated to serving our Heavenly Father. And it is through your loving and generous support that our ministry continues to bless others. To learn how to partner with Woman at the Well Ministries, please visit our website. Thank you to the gospel group Fudge Creek for letting us use their hit song, Happy Girl. We greatly appreciate your prayers. We are praying daily for our listeners. Remember that God loves you. You are loved.
Like to have, and I was wondering, could you show me how you smile this world away? Cause you're a happy girl, she's a happy girl, she's a happy girl, living a life for Christ, she's a happy girl. She just knows whatever happens, God is in control. She's a happy girl. happy girl.